Good morning. So in our walk here through the book of Revelation, we began to look several weeks ago at chapters 17 and 18. Now in the chronology of the book of Revelation, chapters 17 and 18 deal with what the Holy Spirit calls Babylon the Great. It's followed by chapter 19, which is the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus. So in the sequence, the narrative has already covered the loosening of the seven sealed scroll, all seven seals. When the seventh seal was loosened, it initiated seven trumpet judgments. We've looked at those seven trumpet judgments. When the seventh trumpet judgment was blown, that initiated seven bowls of wrath, or seven plagues. We've looked at six. The seventh plague is actually the second return of the Lord Jesus, which is Revelation chapter 19. But before we get there, the Holy Spirit shows us the condition, the reality, the condition, and the ultimate end of what it calls, refers to as Babylon the Great. Now we took sort of a few rabbit trails in covering this. We looked at the beginning of Babylon the Great in its incipient stages, which was the Tower of Babel. And essentially, the Tower of Babel was simply a rebellion against God. And that gave birth to what would become Babylon the Great, which is this world's system. It's the foundation of this world. It's based on rebellion and opposition to God. And the Holy Spirit's referring to what began in its birth as this rebellion in Babel, this little community, has now become Babylon the Great. The exact same opposition and rebellion that occurred back in the days of Babel are the very foundation of this world's religious, economic, and governing systems. It's not great because it's wonderful. It's great because it grew so large and permeated its tentacles everywhere. In the narrative describing Babylon the Great, there is an earnest cry from God Himself that her people be taken, pulled out of Babylon, to come out of it. We're born in this system. This is our address. This is where we live. This is how we have to function in life. But God is calling us out of it. We are in it, but we're not to be of it. And so last week, we went on another private trail, which was I tried to look contrasting two characters who were very close to each other, and they were both believers, Abraham and his nephew Lot. Abraham was called out of Babylon, and he was successful. He never settled in this world. He never even owned any property except a gravesite. He never built a house. He lived in a tent. This home, this world, this Babylon was never his home. He was looking for a city whose architect and builder was God Himself. And we'll look at that city in the last two chapters of Revelation. The city Abraham was looking for, the reason he never settled in this world, is because he was looking for the city whose architect and builder was God, which is the New Jerusalem, which is explained to us at the end of the book of Revelation. The other character we looked at last week was Lot, who was also a believer. But he settled in this world, and he got sucked in. And Babylon became not only his physical home, but his own. And he suffered the loss of all things, even though he himself was saved. So, having spent weeks on Babylon, we'll begin now to look at the actual text. So, Anne, if you're up to it, could you read Revelation 17 for us? Thank you.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the king of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seventh, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as king with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of the Lord, the words of God, are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth."
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is the account of this Babylon the Great is really broken up into two parts. When they divided the Bible into chapters, I think chapter 17 really pertains to what the Holy Spirit calls Mystery Babylon, which is this world's false religious systems. And this world's false religious systems all have one center, and it's man. That's what makes religion false. Much of institutional Christianity is false. It's man-centered. And then we'll look next week, Lord willing, chapter 18, which deals with the fall of this world's governing an economic system. It's just gone. The Lord shows up and its foundation is collapses and it's over. Both of these are the foundational systems upon which all civilizations govern themselves. It's all based on a lie. It's all based on man. It's all hostile and opposition and rebellious to the Lord God, the Creator of heaven, of the heavens and the earth. So, with that said, let's take a look at this first chapter. This harlot. I believe the Holy Spirit's calling this religious system a harlot because it has prostituted itself, mainly its values, for personal gain. The actual foundation of both systems is the same. It's man-centered, and the foundation of all man-centered systems is money and power. It's true in religious systems, it's true in economic systems, it's true in governing systems. It's all about money and power. And that's even true here. So he gives us a little clue. Many people think that because of the last verse, that Mystery Babylon is Rome. And they can make a compelling case for it, but I think that's way too narrow. It's much larger than that. It's much larger than what we consider a city. This is worldwide. I know that because he says, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. And John comes out and tells us in verse 15, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's worldwide. This is the world's religious system. Now it has all, and from our perspective, it has all sorts of different manifestations. You have, you know, all sorts of denominations in the Christian church. You have Judaism. You have the Muslim religion. You have all kinds, Hinduism, Buddhism. It's all, the foundation of all of these are exactly the same. They're all man-centered. And they have different manifestations, you know, according to different tribes, different nations, different people. But the foundation's the same. The foundation is this mystery Babylon. And it reigns everywhere. For all peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And then he says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet. So what you see here are two entities that are connected. This harlot and this beast. And they're kind of riding together. One's using the other, and the other's using the one. It's a symbiotic relationship. They use each other. And now she's riding on this beast, which has seven heads and ten horns. We've looked at it in the past, but let's look at it one more time. Way back in Revelation 12, when we're first introduced to this unholy trinity, it was the great dragon who was Satan himself. And the great dragon appears with seven heads and ten horns. Then we are introduced to this beast. The beast is just a one world ruler. And he rises up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the names, the name of blasphemy. And it goes on, we read in Revelation 13, some detail about this one world ruler. He is like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. And what that means is that this one world ruler is not going to be like the previous horns or the previous heads. He's going to be the combination of the worst of all of them. He's going to be like Alexander the Great in his extraordinary march through the earth and claiming power to himself. He's going to be like Cyrus the Great, who just moves with such strength and just plods along. You're not going to stop. He's going to be, in combination with those two, he's going to be like a lion, just tremendous authority and ferocious. And he's going to get all of this power from Satan himself. Satan, who has usurped all the authority that God gave to Adam and Eve, is now going to give that same authority to this one world ruler, and the power to deceive the world by this false prophet. They're all described as having 10 horns and 7 heads, all 3 together. It's essentially an unholy trinity. Satan is simply aping the holy trinity. What are the 7 heads? Well, they're just the 7 world powers that throughout history have oppressed God's chosen people, the Jews. The first was Egypt, the second Assyria, the third Babylon, which is the lion, the fourth Persia, which is the bear, the fifth Greece, which is the leaven, the sixth Rome, and the seventh is to come, the beast. Those are the 7 horns. Satan gave his power and authority to these oppressive government systems, and they used their power and authority to control the world, and in doing so, oppress God's people. The beast will be the combination of all the previous 6. The worst aspects of all 6 will be present in this last one. How about the 10 horns? What does that mean? Well, we get the explanation to that in the book of Daniel, in Daniel 7. It says, I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. That's describing the same event that Anne was excited about in her reading. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth and will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. Now listen to this. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times, and half a time. That's a description of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, where this Antichrist, who has now gathered unto himself all authority and power, is going to use that authority and power to destroy the Jews. One of the ways he's assembled and accumulated this power is that he has entered into an alliance with 9 other, or perhaps 10 other kings. These kings all form a confederation and join up with this one world ruler. And we're told that their purpose, they have one purpose, these 10 kings. And the way they'll stay in power is that they will give their power and authority to the beast. They're just puppets of the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. So those are the 10 horns. It's just a confederation of 10 nations that throw their support behind this one world ruler who has all the same authority, power, and treasury of the previous 6 world empires that oppressed the people of God. This woman is the false prophet. In the New Testament, I mean in the book of Revelation, but generally in the New Testament, religious systems are presented to us as women. Now, before that gets offensive, one of the religious groups that's presented as a woman is the Bride of Christ. It's the same thing. Religious systems in the Bible are given to us through the metaphor of women. I'm not sure why. And in most cases, it's evil. But in the most important case, it's glorious. It's the Bride of Christ. So this woman, this false prophet, Mystery Babylon, was clothed in purple and scarlet. I think purple means she had authority, royalty. And scarlet means she's violent, bloody. She uses her authority and power to shed blood. We read that in verse 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. We've mentioned this a few times. This world's system, especially its religious system, will tolerate anything except one thing: truth. It's the only thing. And it will respond viciously and violently to anyone that's a threat to their deception. Verse 12:17 says, the dragon, who is Satan, was enraged at the woman, who is Israel, and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's command and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. What this is saying is Satan is enraged at the people of God. Now he has empowered 2 others in this unholy trinity, the false prophet and the beast. And all of their venom is directed towards the people of God. Then we read about her. She was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. So here we see, what's the motivation? Glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. It's money and power and wealth. And she will do anything to get it. She will prostitute herself to gain whatever she wants. And it's described as the abominations of the earth. Then we read, I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come out of the abyss and go to its destruction. I think what this is describing is that the first six powers were. The seventh power is about to come. It's not here now, but it will come. And it will just reign for a short time and go to its destruction. But I think the way the Holy Spirit words this is he's playing on the words. In Revelation 1, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come. This false Trinity that is presenting itself to the world's people as God Himself falls way short. The true Trinity is, was, and is to come, the Almighty. This false Trinity once was, now is not, and yet will come to its destruction. Do you see the contrast there? I mean, it's just almost, I think it's humor here, personally. It's like, you know, the true Trinity, this is what the word Yahweh means. You know? I was, I am, and I am to come. The world's, what the world is following at the end is a false Trinity. Which was, it's not now. And when it comes, it will come to its destruction. Yeah. And then we read about these nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come. This is a deception that has great power. We read about this, the Apostle Paul tells us about this in 2 Thessalonians. He says, let no one deceive you in any way. For that day, which is the second coming of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a soft delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This power of the Antichrist has always been in this world. It's here now. It was here when the New Testament was written. It's just that there is one who is holding it back, and when he's taken out of the way, it will be exhibited in its fullness. And in its fullness, what that means is that all the world will worship a man who has been given power and authority by Satan. And he uses a false religious prophet who's also been empowered by Satan to deceive the world into thinking that this man is its Savior and Lord. That is the mark of the beast. That a man is our Savior and Lord. And it's all done by deception. And those whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will all be deceived. Well, it's a very interesting end that this second member of the unholy Trinity comes to. In verse 16, it says, "The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish His purpose by agreeing to hand over to the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled." Do you realize what this is saying? This false prophet was riding this beast to power. He was using the powers of deception that this false prophet could display. And they were remarkable, unlike anything probably we've ever seen. They have this symbiotic relationship where one's helping the other. And it's working. When the false prophet uses her power to bring this one to authority, as soon as his authority is secured, he turns and destroys it. This is Babylon the Great. This is how it works. They don't care about each other. They're riding each other just to gain what they both want. Now the false prophet, this is what she says in chapter 18. It says, in her heart she boasts, "I sit as throned as queen. I'm riding on this world's ruler back. I'm not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord who judges her." This woman who had aided in immeasurable ways the rise to power of this one world ruler, the beast, thinks that she has secured for herself a great life. She's never going to mourn. She's risen to power. She's staying in power. This is the false hope that Babylon promises to everyone. If you have money and power, you're secure. Well, how secure was she? As soon as he gets what he wants, they turn on, she's gone, done. And the scriptures even say this is the judgment that God had for her. When you place your hope in man and in the things of this world, that's pretty much going to be your end. The world will crush you if it can. If it needs you, it'll be your best friend. As soon as it doesn't need you, it'll crush you. This is man-centered systems. The human heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand? It's interesting in the book of Daniel, and I'll close with this, in describing this beast, it says that he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will boast against them all. If you go Google it or something, you'll probably see that the Antichrist, people think he's a homosexual because of this. He'll have no desire for women, but I don't think that's what it means. I think it means he's totally secular. He has no belief in anything supernatural whatsoever. Now, he's going to use the supernatural to rise the bound. That's the point of the deception of the false prophet. But he's completely 100% secular. He has no desire for anything pertaining to any spirituality at all. The gods of his fathers, or for the desire of women, nor serve regard for any other god. For he will boast against them all. He's 100% secular. There is no creator, in other words. It's all man. That's it. What a deception that is. The heavens and the earth were not created by an eternal God, but they were created by nothing. And they're believing it and boasting it. And that's who he is. So, next week we'll look at the demise of the governing and economic systems that this world has placed so much hope in. It's just by the mere appearance of his coming, the whole foundation collapses. In 1 hour, it's done. Alright? Anybody have any thoughts about this?
For a long time, but it seems like it's happening
fast. Well, it's amping up. It's like birth
pains. Yeah.
They're just getting more intense. The closer you get, the more intense it gets. I mean, in this country, this battle that's going on now is unbelievable. It's completely, it's all spiritual. It just is.
Not even the fact that hope would even entertain.
Thank you for that. The Pope and Nancy Pelosi are now enjoying breakfast or whatever they're eating in Italy right now. Right now. What's that?
Maybe she went to confession.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a woman who has probably aided and abetted the murder of millions of children. And the Pope and she are having a great time together. And that's something.
They're riding each other.
I think that's a great, thank you. That's great. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, like with the clown they got now as president, he rides for religion. He has no regard for the things of the Lord at all. It's all about him. And that, but he keeps, you know, I'm a devoted Catholic. You gotta be out of your mind. What are you talking about, dude? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But people buy, people, you know, he wasn't checking his watch. He was saying the rosary. What are you talking about? I mean, and the world believes this stuff. It is so deceptive. The world was so willing to believe any lie. I mean, it's all a lie. The whole thing's a lie. Everything that's going on is a lie. It's all deception. And the world believes it. You push against it with truth and they will destroy you. And it's just what we're reading here. It's just going to get as bad as it seems now. It does seem worse today than it seemed to me like 10 years ago. But it's going to be a lot worse 10 years from now. I think.
This is the only truth left.
Truth is a person. And that's what they hate.
But the deception and the imposter have an element of truth in them, like similarity.
Half truth.
To get people to believe it, it's got this element in it.
Oh,
it's
a deception. Yeah.
That it makes it more deceptive.
Well, the deception is powerful. And it's even we're even told that God sends them a powerful delusion. And basically, that seems so cruel. Why is God doing that? It's because I think it's this.
What they want.
Yeah. You want to believe the lie? Here you go. Believe this. While I laugh at you. That's Psalm 2. You're going to be that? Your contempt for me is that great that you will believe him in that?
I have a verse here, Jeremy, going along with what she says. This is in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light.
Yeah.
Like, they're the closest thing to the real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this prostitution, I think we're seeing in our day, like the beginning of the apostasy, where churches are lowering the holiness bar so that they don't, so they can keep their money coming in. Like, they won't speak out against certain things because they don't want to offend this group, because, that'll block their money from coming in.
Yeah, well, that's what the Bible would call prostitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're compromising the truths of Scripture and of who the Lord Jesus is.
Yeah. I mean, most major denominations would never speak out against homosexuality or women in authority in the churches. It would be devastating to their money and power. So they'll just prostitute themselves.
I don't know if you covered this or not, but where it says fallen is Babylon.
Yeah.
Is it fallen is the religious system, fallen is the economic system?
It could be.
That's what it seems like to me. Those pillars are coming down.
Right. Because its foundation is sand.
Right.
It's just based on man. That's what it is.
And I don't think it's going to take an hour. It's just within an hour. Like, they're going to take just one moment.
Yeah.
When the Lord drops a curtain between the spiritual world and the physical world, it's just going to be over.
When the truth shows up, what happens to lies? But when the sun rises, what happens to the darkness? It's gone. When the truth shows up, all the lies flee. It's all false. It's done. And the world is just left aghast. What?
See, we know by faith that Jesus is omnipresent.
Yeah, holding all things together.
Well, he's on the front. That's how every eye is going to see him.
Yeah.
Like, because when he pulls the curtain down, he's everywhere.
Oh, yeah, sure. Now, the second coming, when the heavens are open, it means it doesn't matter where on the earth you are, you're going to see him. I mean,
yeah, it's really weird, Joe, that you can't get through to people that you love. And I know someone who turned 10 PR on early in the morning before she got to bed, and with a nice soft voice, I got to keep informed, and no offense to anybody, but it's almost like when someone's in a cult, you can't reach them because they're already told what people are going to tell you, so then you're like, oh yeah, they said they would, you would say that, and they're already, you can't get through, you can't.
Yeah, it's like it's
an eyewitness.
It just bounces off.
No, that's not. We're informed here.
So, I don't know. I think the reason God calls his children out of Babylon is that's how we change Babylon. Our words don't mean anything. They just watch the way we live.
Yeah.
Are you really secure in the Lord? Because they're not secure. I mean, it can be taken away from them in a minute. And that's when, you know, that's the difference between Abraham and Lot. Well, why did the citizens of Sodom not believe Lot when he said, hey, God's going to destroy this place, get out? And his own daughters and future sons-in-laws thought he was joking. But I think what that really means is they thought he was a joke. His religion's a joke. You're living just like us do. I don't see you trusting this great almighty God in daily living. Whereas Abraham, what did they see? And who changed the world? And that's why God's calling us out. We're not called not to fight against. We're not called not to engage. We're called not to be of it. And the best way we fight against it is to not be of it. I mean, our words just bounce off. Boing. it's like hitting a wall. You might as well talk to them on the piano. But they watch. And I think what they want to see is, you know, God's real. Well, God's providing for them. Darlene in the hospital. I mean, it's horrible. It's tragic. It's devastating. They're going to see one of God's children trusting the Lord. And they'll see that. Where the rubber meets the road. It's not about theology or doctrine. It's about, I'm His. And that's what the world looks for, and that's what cuts, for the most part, I think.
One time Tom said, wherever we are is where Jesus wanted to show up. And so I remember when I had to call the ambulance to take me to the hospital, it was like, you know, Tom's like, I guess Jesus wanted to go to the hospital today and show up there to shine out of our lives. And when you look at it that way, you just are more surrendered than, you know, bumping at it. But we still obviously have empathy for what Darlene is going through. And but we know he's there.
Yeah, that's true. And the contrast, I mean, see, I love this Babylon title for the world. I just love it. Because it is so vacuous. You know? It's just nothing. It's all based on deception, rebellion, and opposition to God. That's this world system.
Just like the Babel app.
Yeah.
The Babel app, trying to make everybody can learn all the languages.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that they called it Babel.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, the European Union, when they built their headquarters, it's in Belgium, I think, they mimicked the Tower of Babel. It's unfinished. And what they were trying to, like, all the world had spoken one language and was united. That's what they're after. So they reproduced the Tower of Babel as their headquarters. That's pretty amazing. I mean, talk about it in your face. Well, now that they've gained political power, it's gotten a lot worse. Because now they have, you know, they have media power, you know, they have it all.
I think